these guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Can't kill these Timberwolves. Everybody thought Karl Anthony Towns go. I remember all the national talking heads. First of all, like, the morning that that news broke was the only time in 3 months anyone nationally has talked about the Wolves, which is fine. Just fine. But here they are, 3-2 on the road, gentlemen. They've got a fun back-to-back tonight against Utah and then home against the Nuggets as they sit still clustered among three teams at the top of the Western Conference standings. Mackey, we got our OG Wolves guy, Judd, here. We got Declan in the house, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.
The new aunt, bobblehead.
Oh, that's the new one.
Yep. Don't be confused with the old one, which is this one. Both, of course, have his dog, his trademark dog with him.
Oh. See? And that's number a paddle? One. Is he on a paddle board there?
Yeah, he's on a paddle boat of some sort.
That must make sports dad concerned. He should not be doing activities.
You know,
that
I don't really need, you know what? You've got a good point. I don't understand the paddle boat thing. Like, is that
because it's the lake themed jerseys and uniforms. So
no,
you know,
I don't like it.
He's on a lake of some kind.
No, I
probably
just like it when he's with his dog.
See? Yeah, it's nice.
That's old aunt.
Yes. Our bobblehead CEO
that's
of bobblehead
update.
Operations.
Hey, you know
here,
what? As the OG Wolves guy, I collect a lot of Wolves stuff. I got the old notepads. I got the buttons. I got the pennants. I got my garbage can, original Wolves. I've had it since, I think I've bought it in like 90, and it's still going strong.
Do you use it? Like, do you throw, like,
I did for a long time. I now store my, like baseball bats and stuff in the can. But yes, I did for a long time.
Like, you're... Like souvenir baseball bats, or do you just have like random baseball bats that you're taking around the neighborhood?
Like my Roy Smalley bat right here.
Were you a 32 or a 33 type of guy with that drop three bat? Which one were you? Which one were you using?
Yeah, are you like a -5 or a -7?
Be quiet, you guys. I'm an old school -3 guy. Okay.
Okay.
This newfangled crop.
I have for you guys four Wolves thoughts, four Wolves pontifications here today, presented by our friends over at First Equity Mortgage, gentlemen, Minnesota-based, 24 years in the market. I had a great experience refinancing my old home with David over at First Equity. He's a season ticket holder, too, 20 years. He, along with many others, witnessing maybe the greatest season of the 20-year stretch that he's had season tickets. And you can check him out at femort.com. They work fast. They have a great reputation in the community. And David probably wouldn't say this. He's modest, but I'll say it for him, that First Equity has been recognized in the top 1% of loan originators in the country for the last 15 years. So you're getting one of the best in the business locally and nationally. FEMort.com or ScoreNorth.com, keyword David. Here's pontification, if you will, number one. The Wolves, much to the chagrin of all the national talking heads, have not collapsed without Karl Anthony Towns. They are still hanging tough at the top of the Western Conference. So they're 3-2 in the five games since Cat went down. All of those games on the road. One of those losses was an overtime loss, just devastating in Cleveland that they probably should have won in regulation.
Yeah,
they're only one game out in the Western Conference standings. They're one game behind, I believe it's Oklahoma City now, and then a half game behind Denver, who lost. Did you see Kyrie's buzzer beater, Mavericks beating the Nuggets yesterday?
Yeah, it was
fasting for Ramadan, and he does like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hook shot from the top of the key as time expires, and the Nuggets go down. So over the past 2 weeks, without Karl Anthony Towns, the offense has actually gone up a notch in offensive efficiency. They've gone from 17th in the time before Cat to 16th in offensive efficiency. The defense has suffered. They've gone from being the number one defense leading up to the Cat injury in the five games without him. They're 12th in defensive efficiency. But Naz Reid has stepped up 8 extra minutes per game. Anthony Edwards has notched up the scoring to 31 points a game in these last 5. So the Wolves have not collapsed with Karl Anthony Towns on the bench. That's the good news.
Does that surprise you a lot? No. Did like the fact that they beat the Jazz without Gobert.
Yeah.
Which to me is a... So, like, as far as peeling away players, Phil, what's your order after Ant of guys they can't lose? Because I mean, I do think Gobert's role is extremely important. And Cat, look, in a playoff series, I want all hands on deck. So I'm not trying to say that Cat being out is a good thing or not a big deal. But I feel like if you're going to peel away a few parts here and there for some games this time of year, you can win without Cat.
Yes. I don't think you're making a deep run. And correct. It's funny because it's like what's weird about it is it's less about you can sort of replace Cat apples for apples with Naz Reid. Mm-hmm. But it's OK. But now you need to replace Naz Reid's 23 minutes with something.
Right.
And to their credit, there's been a combination of, okay, Kyle Anderson's playing a little bit more. By the way, 16 assists in the last two games for Kyle Anderson. TJ Warren, who hadn't played all year, he went from scoring 53 points in the bubble for the Pacers like 4 years ago to having a devastating foot injury, comes back for part of a season, then he's out of the league for the first half. And it's like, well, we'll sign him to a 10-day contract before the Cat injury and just have an experienced veteran that we can maybe turn to. Oh, Cat goes down. TJ Warren, you're playing 15 to 20 minutes a night now, right? And he's been holding his own. He's been shooting like 46, 47%. So it's to kind of answer your question about who can't you afford to lose, Anthony Edwards is number one. Rudy Gobert is 1B. They're right there with each other. If your goal is to make a deep playoff run, Cat is a huge loss if you're going to beat the Nuggets in a series or somebody else.
Right.
But in the interim, you can still put up the same offense, not that the bar was all that high for the Timberwolves offense. And some of these other guys can kind of fill in behind. By the way, Mike Conley, there was a lot of questions. Kyle and I did an episode early last week and we asked the Mike Conley question. Okay. He's really taken a dip in the last month. He's 36 years old. This happened to Chris Paul a couple times. It happened later in the year, but are we seeing sort of the demise of Mike Conley? Well, he's come back with two of his best games of the season. Right? He's back knocking down threes again. I think he was 5 for 8 from three in both games, the last two wins. So he's now 10 for his last 16 shooting threes. So that's a good sign. On Naz Reid, though, here's something really interesting as he's stepping into that Karl-Anthony Towns role. 31 minutes a game over the last five, up from 23 minutes a game. So they're adding 8 more minutes to Naz Reid's playing time on average. In those 31 minutes, he's averaging 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. He's shooting 47% overall and 44% from 3. And this is the big one. He understands his role in the offense. Launch 3s at a high rate. He's averaging 8 3-point attempts per game in these last 5, filling in for Karl-Anthony Towns. Cat averaging about 5 3-point attempts per game, which I think universally, I would think Chris Finch would even tell you, that's not enough. You're one of the greatest big man shooters in the history of the NBA. 5 is not enough. He should be taking 8, 9, maybe 10 threes in a lot of these games. But he's got other things that he, you know, pulls out of his bag, the dribble drive, whatever. Naz Reid has said, hey, you want me to launch threes? You want me to stand in the corner and afraid. Space out?
Yeah, he, yep.
I'm in. So he's had a couple huge games offensively. But that whoever is in that role, whether it's Cat or Naz, that sort of stretch four role. Stretch, dude, like stretch out, space out and launch threes at a 40%+ clip. Both those guys can do it. And Naz Reid's been doing it the last 5 games.
Explore the space. And how about the block on Saturday as well?
Yep.
How about that play by Naz?
Yeah, he's everywhere, man.
Naz is a genius. This is a guy who probably could have gone to a worse team, right? And gotten a lot more time.
Spurs. Yeah.
Which most guys do. Like, they'll just take the money and they'll be like, I'll play more. And then they lose. And they're like, ah, but I'm playing more.
Yeah.
You know, how many guys have the self-awareness to take a step back and say, I'm in a situation that fits me really well. Like, if I start, awesome. If I don't, it's still good. Like, you think about what makes a team successful, right? And like the intangibles and like, this is one of them. You got a guy who was smart enough to just stop for a second and say, I really like it here, but more importantly, I fit in really well here.
Yeah.
And so to your point, he didn't take the Spurs. He didn't go to a team that would probably be out of the playoffs now, and he'd probably be making more, and he'd certainly be playing more. But like, these are the seemingly small things that I think can change a direction. Because to what you're talking about, Phil, the playoffs come. And now Cat hopefully comes back. And now Naz goes back to his old role, but his old role in the playoffs is a fundamentally crucial role.
that they didn't have last year because he was out. Right. It was crazy. Like that's the thing about that first round series against Denver. Like that dude was out. He did not play. And Jaden McDaniels had a broken hand punching a wall.
Yeah.
But we're also, you know, we've kind of wondered for a long time. And we saw it obviously for stretches last year when Cat was out for the 50 games. But what does this thing look like? Naz Reid playing 30 plus minutes, playing essentially starter minutes. And last year it was tough because he played larger chunks of minutes, but he also didn't mesh well with Gobert when he was on the court with Gobert. This year he actually does. It's one of the biggest 1 year turnarounds in terms of like lineup combinations in recent NBA history. But we're kind of seeing a 30 minute per game version of him in these last five. 20 points, 7 rebounds, some assists, some blocks, launching threes. And he's kind of, instead of being like a 4-5 hybrid, he's kind of like a wing, like stretch 4 hybrid now. He's just his body, everything about him. There was a play, I can't remember what part of the game it was, the highlights going around Twitter from that first Jazz game a couple nights ago, where he grabs a rebound. So he grabs the rebound out of the sky, defensive rebound, and they're going to turn and go the other way. And a Jazz player comes in kind of from his blind side to try and like swipe the ball away. And Naz Reid, who was undrafted, kind of a little bit of a pudgy, beefy center, basically 5 years ago when the Wolves brought him in, his handle is now one of the best on the team. He literally takes the ball, dribbles it like opposite between his legs to avoid the defender swiping by, and then all in one hand fires a one-handed pass in transition, an outlet pass up the court. Like he adds something to his game seemingly every 3 months, and it's been fun to watch. Okay, number two, Wolves thought, Wolves pontification number two. They're getting no respect from the sports books. So DraftKings has updated power rankings based on odds to win the championship. And they have the first category, which is contenders. The Boston Celtics are the number one contender to win the championship. They're a plus 225. Then the Denver Nuggets at plus 330. And there's four other teams in the contender bin. The Bucks, the Clippers, the Thunder, and the Phoenix Suns, who are the worst fourth quarter clutch team in the NBA. The Wolves have fourth quarter problems. The Suns have huge fourth quarter problems. So six contenders. Then there's a category called fringe contenders, which starts with the New York Knicks at 7. So the Wolves aren't even the number one fringe contender, according to DraftKings. It's Celtics, Nuggets, Bucks, Clippers, who the Wolves have held under 100 points in the four games they've played. Thunder, Suns, then Tom Thibodeau's Knicks. And then you get to the Minnesota Timberwolves at number 8, just ahead of the Cavs, Pelicans, Lakers, and a bunch of other teams that are in the fringe contend. They literally have the Wolves in the same category, fringe contenders, as the Sacramento Kings, Orlando Magic, and Indiana Pacers. Hmm. No respect.
And it feels like, the Nuggets are obviously the favorites still to get out of the West, but like the Celtics have the East, in my opinion, on a stranglehold, right? Like it's going to... I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if the Celtics got like booted in the first or obviously second round. Like they're gonna probably waltz into the Eastern Conference Finals, and then it's, you know, are the Knicks or Cavs or someone gonna be able to keep up with them? The West, though, like I can hear a conversation of who is the second best team to the Nuggets. Who is the most likely team that could upend the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals or obviously like in a semifinals? And that is up for debate. But I think to have the Wolves that low is pretty disrespectful.
You know, like, but Tim Connelly has spent the last 2 years, he built Denver, and then he left and they added a couple key pieces that pushed it over the top for a championship. But Tim Connelly built 85% of Denver's bones that became a championship team. And he knows that Denver is, they're not going away over the next few years. So he is now building a roster that can sort of poke at the holes, whatever those holes are that Denver might have. Size. One of the things that Denver has, they lean on teams with their size. They've got a great combo guard in Jamal Murray that can get shots off or whatever. So Tim Connelly has come in here and okay, the Wolves have more size. The Wolves have a better version of Jamal Murray. He's called Anthony Edwards. You've got a unicorn big man over here. Well, okay, Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe not as good as Jokic, but Here's one unicorn big man in Towns. Here's another one in Naz Reid. We got two unicorn big men running around shooting 40% from three, right? So, eighth.
So the Suns are ahead of the Wolves, you said.
Yes. The Suns, by the way, who this morning, I believe, would be in the play-in. I think right now they're like the seventh or the eighth. They'd be
in the Sacramento play-in. Six, right?
Depends on the tiebreakers, but yeah, they're sitting there.
You know what I partially what I think that this is going to be where this might change or should change ideally for the Timberwolves in the playoffs. I think it comes down to players, and I think it comes down to your stars. And I think it comes down to, like, the Suns get the benefit of the doubt, I think, largely Durant, right? Kevin Durant plays there, and you'll see. I mean, ESPN talks about him constantly. Like, and I saw that. So the Ant thing, to me, is where this changes. The Ant thing is you literally need to put Ant on a stage for a month plus, in the playoffs, where he is on basically games that everyone can watch all the time. It's like there's not a buy-in yet completely. Like, it's weird. You see Ant on a TNT game, and he'll be incredible. And they'll rave, but then they'll sort of forget about him.
Yeah.
So I think once that changes, I think if the Wolves can make a run, and it's almost certainly going to be powered by Ant, I think that changes the dynamic of the respect you're talking about.
Yeah. Because, like, to your point, I feel like the Wolves are kind of dismissed because they don't really have that one guy, that Jason Tatum or that. They do.
Yeah.
And he was doing it in the series against the Nuggets last year. He literally elevated. He figured it out in the regular season, year three jump, and now there's even a year four jump. And then he elevated even more against the Nuggets in that series. And he's elevating whenever Cat's out, right? Okay, cool. I'll go score 31 points on 47% shooting and carry the team.
Yep. I think it comes down to, as well, I think it's very similar to what we're looking at with the upcoming draft in football. I think it's also what the media and public thinks and what the league thinks. Like, I think the league loves Ant. Like, I think the league is on to Ant. They know he's incredible. They know he's a star. But it's weird because, like, with quarterback play, there can be the assessment of what we think and then what the league thinks.
Yeah.
And I think the Timberwolves are a league team right now that hasn't gotten into the conscience of the mainstream yet. And that's what the playoffs hopefully do for them.
Yeah. Yes. We'll see. So whatever. If, you know, flying under the radar.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Writing them off.
I'd rather go below for now the radar for sure.
Before we get to a couple other items here, hey, we are going to take a stab at brackets at Score North. Okay. Maybe not probably putting your money on us to perform well, but, over at scorenorth.com/bracket.
Got my bracket.
Is that your research right there?
So it's my Star Tribune morning sports section with a bracket.
Are they breaking down? They're breaking down the bracket.
Dude, it's old school. Look, you still got your big bracket, huh?
I used to fill that in. I used to get the paper one.
Everyone did.
I used to fill it in. Yeah. I don't think late millennial, early 90s babies like me were taking their paper bracket and filling it out, but
it should be.
But that was the one I used to do.
We would print them off on the old desktop printer. And
yep.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean,
have the highlighter there, you know.
Yep.
But look at how nice that is. You got the brackets. You got the teams in there. You can just
Nothing like using a highlighter to highlight the
wins that you
have. So scorenorth.com/bracket. It's the Score North Bracket Challenge powered by our friends at Nicolet Law. We're going to give out prizes for first, second, and third place. The winner will be crowned your one shining moment on the Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd podcast. Plus, the winner receives two VIP tickets to the Purple Daily Draft Party, which is sold out on April 25th at the Fillmore. ScoreNorth.com/bracket if you want to compete against and or with us. Speaking of Nicolet Law, a shout out to the exclusive personal injury law firm of Flagrant Howells, Nicolet Law. They are local. They love serving the local community. Just your normal everyday folks, the ones you see at the gas station, walking the dog, or at your local watering hole. And they know how life is in the Midwest because they're living it too at Nicolet Law. When an unexpected accident occurs and you give them a call, you know you're working with people who truly understand where you're coming from. Just normal folks who happen to have law degrees here to help you with any sort of injury issues. So get your award-winning injury lawyers at Nicolet. Get Nicolet at 1-855-NICOLET or go to NicoletLaw.com. Okay. Pontification number three. It's actually a question for you guys. at this stage right now, looking ahead, what would make this a successful season for the Timberwolves? What bar would they have to cross for you to say,
I love this.
You know what? I'm not going to criticize them. Sports Dad's going to applaud. He's not going to take the gloves off. He's going to be, you know, maybe not like confetti falling down happy, but like what bar do they have to cross for you to say, all right, nice job this season. Let's see what happens next year.
I would say playoff series win and at least competitive semifinal appearance. Competitive 6-7 game semifinal appearance. I think that is for this franchise and for what this team has right now. Yes, I think that would be the bar. I understand if anyone told me, though, Western Conference Finals are bust for in terms of black and white, successful, unsuccessful, I wouldn't push back on that too much. But given where this franchise is as a whole, I would say first playoff series win and then a competitive semifinal round.
You know what? I've upped my expectation, and I am going to say conference finals, and here's why. The one thing that, again, because the Wolves are not in the mainstream conscious of the public and media nationally, and we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago, this notion that, well, they're a young team. They're learning. They're not a young team. They are not. Towns has been to the playoffs now, what, two or three times?
Ninth year in the league, yeah.
Yeah, Gobert is not a young guy. Ant is a star, which in some ways to me, like I'm not saying they're going to win the NBA title, but Ant certainly has the ability to rise up for two rounds and be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Mike Conley, last time I checked, is my age. So like when you look at this team, this is not a, aw, shucks, geez, hope we get some playoff experience team. That was that was your Houston series years ago now, and that was just a bust. No, I'm going to say conference finals because the Western Conference is really good, but it is wide open. And when I watch this Wolves team play like they should, which they, you know, to their credit, they've done a lot. They're a damn good team with experience, with a good bench, with some really good components. So, yeah, I'm going to say that. Instead of shooting for, well, I hope they can win a playoff series, bleep that. Conference finals for me.
I think I'm more with Dex on this, but everything like everything Judd laid out is fair. This is very much a win now team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the star young player, and Anthony Edwards is young. He's 22 years old. There is a certain chess game that you just have to figure out where like you're the focal point. They're going to try and take things away from your offensive arsenal that in a 7-game series, like it's going to be a more aggressive chess game than it is on a Tuesday night, you know, against Utah.
Right.
And he specifically has to figure that out. So there is still a learning curve there. But I'm going to say a first round win and you go at least 6 or 7 games against a tough opponent in the second round. I will say, OK, we've moved the ball forward for the first time in 20 years, winning a playoff round. And now let's see how they can build off this. Do they make a move? Do they trade someone? Do they just run the whole thing back into the second apron? There's a lot of questions that would come there.
I think that you're right. I think that your opponent for sure is going to try to take Ant away from you. But that being said, if Carl is back and playing, Chris Finch, you've got to find a way. Like this is when Kat has to take 10 3-point shots. This is when, like, there's ways. If this was a one-player team, or heck, two guys, but they're not. They've got multiple guys that can beat you, and you know, yes, the Ant maturity could become a problem, but I will say this in his defense. Ant also has a big game gene that we've seen that is a special, it's a special gene. Like, not everyone has it. And so I'm wondering if the two can offset, because he tends to get frazzled at times. He certainly gets pissed off at officials. Like, there are some things where it's like, okay, dude, calm down. But we've also seen him in, especially like TNT games, step up. And it's like, oh my God, he just sees that. Mm-hmm. And if he can do that at times, and if Carl can take a step himself playoff wise, which by the way, he should do, like he's at that point now. Like if it's a playoff series, understand the magnitude and embrace it. Don't melt down. I just think that there's a real potential here, and there's not one team that I say, okay, in a run to the conference finals, you're probably screwed.
And right now, too, the way that the first round matchups are sort of lining up, it's so up in the air. And the Wolves, I think the Wolves are going to be either the 1-2 or the 3 at this point. They have the tiebreaker with the season series against the Clippers, and they are 4 games up on the Clippers right now for that 4 spots. So that win against the Clippers was
huge
for that
reason.
Great
win. Great win.
Yep, they fall down behind early, and then they come all the way back, and they wind up blowing them out. So right now, today, they'd face the Kings in a 7-game series, and it would be a fun series. And the Kings are a high-scoring team that's not just like a 4-game. That might be a 6-game series. I mean, it might be a 7-game series. That's a good team. Mm-hmm. But you avoid the Pelicans right now because the Pelicans are up to the 5th spot. They're 2.5 games clear of the Kings. The Pelicans are the matchup that I do not want in the first round because if they are fully healthy, it's size. They can throw a lot of different things at you. They've given the Wolves problems. But if you can get like the Mavericks or the Kings, I know the Mavericks have 2 Hall of Famers just scoring 30 points every night, but I feel like the Wolves can run enough defense at those guys and the depth, especially if Cat comes back.
Yep.
But where it gets really interesting is if you snag the 1 or the 2 seed and you face like the Warriors in the first round, and I've been saying arrogantly all year, give me that team in the first round. It'll be a sweep 5 games. But to the Warriors' credit, they've done a great job of just sort of building all year. Kuminga has become a monster for them. So, you man, there's just like right now the 8, 9, and 10 seeds in the Western Conference are the Suns, Warriors, and Lakers. Literally have like some of the best players in the history of the NBA still at their, not maybe their top of their peak, but like still in their prime, if not the the back end of it, they're still in their prime. So, man, there's not many dud matchups for the Wolves in the first round.
Bring it on. We'll bring it on. Don't fear these teams.
Yep.
Don't fear these clubs.
One final just thought here to round out this episode. KG continues to pay close attention to the Timberwolves. So he said this a little over a week ago on his podcast. We haven't talked about this on the show. He said, you can't go backwards now. You're first. Now Minnesota is expected to be in this position every year. This is the precedent you're setting now for yourself, for your culture. My young Wolves are hungry. Being top of the league is now expected every year, not just this year. I love KG, who hasn't stepped foot in that arena all year.
Putting the pressure on him. I love it.
The most influential person in the organization that doesn't even have a tie to the organization
right
now.
Nothing to do with the organization.
Is putting organizational pressure on Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns, and I love it.
Yeah, good for him. Good. You know what? He's exactly right, too. Like that needs to be the mentality here now. Like, this is not a year where, oh my God, they're good. They're finally good. And then they slide backwards. No, the mentality here, and I do think Ant agrees completely. And I do think that Ant will bring this, but I love the mentality of, you know what? Screw it. We're good. And we're going to be good for a long time. And things are going to have to go through us. That's the thing, right? The NBA thing, especially, it feels like the West is going to have to go through us. The Timberwolves have not, I don't think that they've said that, or they have not said that once during the course of their franchise, but there's no reason why you can't be one of those teams that is a pain in the ass every single year.
Yeah. And even like the 1 year where it did technically go through Minnesota, you still felt like that was like early 2000s. The Lakers had come off a three-peat.
And, you know,
the Spurs were in the middle of a dynasty there too.
Yes.
So it never felt like the Wolves conference, and it doesn't right now. It feels like the Nuggets conference, and you're going to have to take that on yourself in the playoffs. But KG, we'll get him in for a playoff game. Let's get him in about a month.
I bet he'll come for a playoff game. He just won't talk to Glenn.
That's fine.
And his jersey won't be hanging from the rafters.
Not till next year, but it will happen. So, hey, thanks for hanging out with us on Flagrant Howls. Click the like button. What's that, Judd?
I said, do you know something? Are you breaking news about KG's 21 being retired?
I just know that Alex has been putting in a lot of work to build that relationship over the last couple of years. And I think it's something that they would love to do once the time is right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the Score North YouTube channel and give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts here. It's a Timberwolves Lifestyle Podcast, Flagrant Howls.